Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to Shepherd's Call. My, but it's good to have you aboard here tonight. We are going into the Scriptures, and we are going to talk tonight about the unidentified foreign objects of the Bible, and we're going to cite some on-record testimonies of very credible people back many, many, many years ago. I'll start out tonight by giving you an account of a U.S. representative from the United States House of Representatives. This was written in 1897 and sworn to by several outstanding citizens of the community. Now, let me begin to quote him as I read. We on the ranch were awakened by a noise among the cattle. I rose thinking that perhaps my bulldog was performing some of his pranks. But upon going to the door, I saw to my utter astonishment an airship, now this is 1897, slowly descending upon my cow lot, about 30 rods from the house. Calling to my tenant, Gil Heslop, and my son Wall, we seized some axes and ran down into the corral. Meanwhile, the ship had been gently descending until it was not more than 30 feet above the ground, and we came within 50 yards of it. It consisted of a great cigar-shaped portion, possibly approximately 300 feet long. This is 1897, folks. With a undercarriage beneath. The carriage was made of glass, or at least it looked as some type of transparent material. It was brilliantly lighted within, and everything was plainly visible in the cabin. It was occupied by six of the strangest beings that we had ever saw. They were jabbering together, but we could not understand a word that they said. Every part of the vessel, which was not transparent, was of a dark reddish color. We stood there mute with wonder and fright when some noise attracted their attention and they turned a light directly upon us. Immediately, on catching sight of us, they turned on some unknown power, and a great turbine wheel, about 30 feet in diameter, which was slowly revolving below the craft, began to buzz and hum, and the vessel rose lightly, just like a bird. When about 300 feet above us, it seemed to pause and to hover directly over a two-year-old heifer, which was bawling and jumping apparently fast in the fence. Going to her, we found a cable about a half inch in thickness made of some red material fastened in a slip knot around her neck, one end passing upon the vehicle and the heifer tangled in the wire fence. We tried to get it off, but could not. So we cut the wire loose and stood in amazement to see the ship, helper, and all rise slowly, disappearing into the northeast. We went home, but I was so frightened I could not sleep. Rising early Tuesday, I started out of my house, saddled my horse, hoping to find some trace of Macau. And this I failed to do, but coming back in the evening, I found that Link Thomas, about 3 or 4 miles west of Leroy, had found the hide, the legs, and the head in his field that day. He, thinking that someone had butchered a stolen beast, had brought the hide to town for identification, but was greatly mystified in not being able to find any tracks in the soft ground. After identifying the hide by my brand, I went home. But every time I would drop to sleep, I would see that cursed thing with its big lights and hideous people. I don't know whether they are devils or angels or what they are, but we all saw them, and my whole family saw the ship, along with my workers, and I don't want any more to do with them. Now, this was the witness of Alexander Hamilton, a respected farmer in his community in Kansas, and was a member of the United States House of Representatives. His report, written in 1897, was accompanied by an affidavit signed by the postmaster, a deputy sheriff, an attorney, and many other distinguished citizens in the area, along with those that were present at the ranch. UFO sightings during World War II were not uncommon. Pilots referred to the strange lights that sometimes paced their planes as Foo Fighters. But the real avalanche of sightings started in 1947. Now, 1947. Why 1947 did we have an increase of these sightings and documented evidence one after another, cattle being reportedly killed in the field, core samples, sometimes the blood drained, not one drop of the blood, and just certain organs missing, and it seems that they had been lasered or surgically removed with precision that defied the time. Man is mystified by all of these mysteries. Well, it's no mystery, ladies and gentlemen. We go back to the time of the Bible, and we see that Paul was struck down with a light. He was knocked to the ground. He was blind for 3 days. And a modern medical term would be blinded with a laser. And the Bible described his eyes being scaled over, meaning burned to where he couldn't see anything for 3 days. And then, of course, we find that there was a voice spoke to Paul, and we know this voice as an angel, or as God, or as the Lord, as some would say. So then, we have detailed accounts. We know that Elijah ascended into heaven on a chariot, and in a recent poll, 57% of Americans polled said that they believed in the reality of UFOs, things that could not be identified and yet exist. We're talking about real, changeable objects that fly in the sky with the ability to defy gravity. They can make turns, 90-degree turns in the air, doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour, whereas the G-force on our conventional aircraft, this would be impossible to do and to duplicate. And so then, are there intelligent beings who are not, let's say, native to the Earth? These live, perhaps, I'm just giving you a hypothetical situation here to think about, perhaps they live in the heavens somewhere on another planet, maybe a distant star system, or it could be relatively close. And they have learned, as we are in our infant stage, we have already been to the moon, perhaps. And if you believe some of the conspiracists, we've already visited Mars and beyond, and we know how to travel. We know how to warp time and travel outside of time. And now here we are with two teams of scientists, and I gave you this scenario the other night, now predicting that Planet X, which the government has denied, they announced in 82 they found it, then they retracted everything just like they did when they were talking about the crashed saucer in the desert of New Mexico. Brigadier General Roger Rainey, as he held a news in July of 1947, he briefed the press and said that it was a weather balloon. This was after that the account had already been printed and released on the war services, that they had discovered a disc, a fallen object, that had crashed in the desert on this ranch that the rancher reported, with strange creatures aboard. And in the communique, I told you how they computer enhanced the statement. They took a photograph of the document, the wire cable, in the hand of the general who was telling everybody that it was a weather balloon, while the cable that he was fixing to cable Washington, or perhaps I believe he'd already sent the information out to Washington, but he had the copy that he'd sent out in his hand, and it talked about a disc, and that there were casualties. Now, strange creatures was another word, and they have computerized the document and enhanced it, and these scientists have done so, betting their reputation that the communique was different than what General Rainey was telling the press at the very press conference. So what he had in his hand and what he knew in his heart and what he was telling the press for consumption was altogether different. Here's a congressman from Kansas, a representative of our House of Congress, in 1897, swearing in an affidavit, and ladies and gentlemen, these testimonies goes to airline pilots, to doctors, to Betty Barney Hill in Massachusetts, I believe, one of the famous cases where that they were picked up and examined. They wanted to know where that their visitors had come from, and they showed him a star map under hypnosis. Betty redrew this star map, placing the star. She had no knowledge of astronomy. And yet she drew a star map that was correct and identical to the Vega star system where these beings said that they were from. Amazing reports from all over the world, 24 hours a day, and the major increase beginning in 1947, actually it was the year, actually it was in the fall of the year that Israel was granted the rights in 1947, this is May the 14th, 1948, that they were granted nation status for a homeland. And yet at this time, we had just dropped the atomic bomb in Japan, 1945, and our atomic testing after 45 was getting serious. We were in a race now with Russia and other nations for superiority to dominate the atomic scene, and for about 40 years the United States dominated until Russia came on board and entered the race and caught up and even surpassed the United States in capability of tonnage, the megatons of explosive power that they could create with the delivery system that they had of that day. Now the multiple warheads and the ICBMs and things of this nature, which we have enough submarines in the water right now. And I told you last night that water covers two-thirds of the earth. We have enough nuclear power under the ocean to create catastrophic problems for mankind. Just one little incident could perhaps trigger an end-time scenario such as the world has never seen. A time of trouble, which again is spoken of in Daniel, which we are talking about. When they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. And the 9-1-1 incident, ladies and gentlemen, is now in good hands. We just got news today that Henry Kissinger will be chairing the committee that will look into possible cover-up in 9-1-1. That's like inviting the fox to the hen house to protect the hens. Mr. Kissinger, a well-known globalist conspirator, will now chair the committee. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever happened to an independent, non-governmental committee, which we have men are qualified, we have men of knowledge that could readily look into the situation and probably get to the bottom of it. But do they really want anybody to the bottom of it? It's just like when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. It is now, I was just reading the book today, by David Basinger and Charles E. Sillier, Jr., of the shocking new evidence that is just now coming out from the government archives, and it reveals why President Lincoln was really killed. Secrets that have been kept secret for 100 years. And here's some of the questions. Why did the president's personal guard entourage leave the post at Ford's Theater when Lincoln was shot? Why did the Washington telegraph system mysteriously fail moments after the fatal shot was fired? follow the roadblocks put up on every exit leaving Washington except the very exit that the killer used as an escape route. Shades of Kennedy, huh? Why did a number of the high government officials turn down President Lincoln's personal request to meet him at Ford's Theater that very evening? These are the questions, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. John Wilkes Booth, again, was the same stooge that was used just like Oswald and Mr. Jack Ruby. And the same secrecy is now covering the fact that we are in another cover-up, and this cover-up is probably, perhaps, the greatest cover-up in the modern era. And I'm talking about the cover-up of the UFO scenarios that have been going on for at least the last 200 years. 1897, when our congressman wrote that this airship, 300 feet long, was roping one of his cows out of his corral, and when he cut the cord, the heifer that was attached to the cord, without the cord now, here's the cord dangling, and the heifer kept rising into the air by some mysterious force that didn't even need the cord, evidently. So, we have now reports, hundreds, if you have read any material at all, on these situations, you'll find out that there is many, many accounts given where not only people, animals, and things of this nature have been taken aboard, examined, some kept, some never returned. Thousands of missing people, no one knows where they go to. They just mysteriously disappear from the face of the earth. It has been reported more than once. It's a common thread in the testimonies of those that have been abducted. After they start having reoccurring dreams or nightmares of the situation, it begins to surface in their mind because their mind evidently seems like has been blocked to the fact that they have been abducted and that they are being used for experimental purposes by a race of people that are alien to the earth. These creatures are very hideous-looking creatures, as the congressman stated in 1897. They have large, black, liquid eyes with no pupil. They have very pointed faces, very large heads, and very frail-looking, very thin-looking bodies with a one-piece continuous jumpsuit of material that defies even our best seamstress today. One of the most astounding things that the abductees report about is the clothing of these individuals and the way that the material feels, and some of the structures of the bodies of these individuals. They look like, sometimes like insects. Serious matters. Approaching the earth, times of several strange things happen. We'll be back to part two of these scenarios. Thank you. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We are on our countdown, and we are talking about UFO visitations down through time, beginning in the Bible. I believe the Bible is perhaps the greatest source of proving that we're not alone, that we do have those who we describe, the Bible writers, describe as watchers. And the Air Force, we believe, the United States Air Force, which has probably, I don't know that they have jurisdiction now with the CIA and other secret covert agencies now operating, probably the U.S. Air Force has been involved so long that they have handed it off to a super agency in the black arts, if you will, the government, where that they can keep these things hid. And why would they want to keep these things hid? Now, let me show you. Again, for national security, to maintain law and order, these secrets, by all means, I believe it's been determined by the government that it's in the best interest of the government, as long as they can negotiate with these strange creatures, who are very intelligent, by the way, probably light years ahead in technology, and that would stand to reason that they've been around long enough to be our progenitors, that they help create us and make us, and that there were actually wars fought over our very existence, like the Bible says, that there was war in heaven. And everybody gets this little misty, floating in the air thing in their mind and thinking, well, this little spirit cloud clashed with that little spirit cloud. Folks, this is absolutely religious hogwash. We have been dumbed down through religion to think in those terms by people that are trying to control us. And they've done an amazingly good job this long with all the information that's out there. These secrets are still secrets. And those that talk or those that get out of line die. Now, I was telling you about the computer analysis of a memo held by Brigadier General Roger Rainey during a July 1947 press briefing, and it's now the smoking gun of the Roswell incident, as the researchers say that using a digital photo scanner to enlarge. See, they didn't know. The government didn't know at that time that this would be common information, that the photograph could be analyzed in a color spectrum. It could be scanned and enlarged and enhanced of the words printed on the folded piece of paper that Rainey held, and then at an angle, the reporter that took the picture, this is right out of the newspaper, by the way, and you can see the enlargement of the words victims of the wreck and disc, and that they will ship. So the disc was loaded on a transport. After they, by the way, they tried to saw it in half and they couldn't get it so that they couldn't even torch it. They couldn't even burn it with torches, acetylene torches. It just wouldn't penetrate the hull of the ship. But they shipped, they covered this ship. It was about a 35-foot circular disc. And it had 7 or 8 occupants aboard, strange creatures like that was described by the wrencher, and literally thousands of others, literally hundreds of thousands now, that have been interviewed, and all tell the same strange story about these things that are happening across our planet by the same creatures all having large liquid eyes, very frail, long-armed, thin bodies. And so, for the last 100 years at least, the stories are being told over and over and over. This is where I bring in the Bible conjecture here, that we are under an assault by the very ones that held us captive or fought over us in Genesis chapter 6, when the sons of God, these mighty ones. Now, when I say sons of God, the word, and Hebrew, you need to go check it out. It is not like the King James Bible tries to make it be. And that's where we've been dumbed down to think that we're the only beings in the universe. We're literally told that. And yet our government is now launching vehicles into space with plaques on it, trying to contact our space brothers out there, if so there be. Oh, but is NASA just a blind? Have we known since the 50s at least how to back engineer these circular discs, and we have ourselves created these propulsion systems, and we have manufactured them, and that our governments, perhaps probably three governments on the earth, are working in cahoots? That would be at least, well, let me give you five. That would be the United States, Russia, Great Britain, and possibly Germany, and maybe France. That would now probably more nations in it, but at that time I think they were the dominant nation, probably the United States, Russia, and Great Britain. These were the principal nations working on this technology. And when they got their heads together, they pooled all the resources. We have been led to believe that we've been in a cold war. We never was. All this was for diversionary, to keep us fearful that there were going to be a war at any minute, and things of this nature, to devote money, large sums of money, by the way, for this development of the super technology that they have in advance, and they have kept it under wraps. This is perhaps the most guarded secret. They'll tell you that it's more guarded than is the atomic bomb, or now the hydrogen, and the nuclear capabilities that we have. All nations have access to that knowledge now. It's no big secret. Even Iraq, the United States and other nations, Great Britain, swear that they've got this weapon of mass destruction, this nuclear capability. And perhaps they do. But all this, again, is diversionary to keep our minds away, just perhaps like Planet X. Some of our scientists, matter of fact, I just read you the ABC news outlet communique that expressed that two groups of scientists have concluded that Planet X is a very strong possibility, with all the evidence pointing that it is entering our solar system and will indeed, as some have feared, wreak havoc with our electromagnetic fields and things of this nature, and that there could be major catastrophic conditions within a year. And yet we're told nothing, literally nothing. Matter of fact, all of the announcements in the 80s, like I said, all this has been retracted. The government went mutely silent. Why? Do the aliens know that they've got a short time? The Bible indicates, and I've said this before, in the Bible it says that they know that they have but a short time to work. Now, this short time could indicate that they must speed up their process of coming down and taking over. For I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Oh. This is in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations. So, are we now entering a speeded up time? It's quite possible that we are probably in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. This is Revelation 16 and verse 14, for these are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle to the great day of God Almighty. Now let me read that again. For these are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth. Did these aliens, these mighty ones, these sons of God, spoken in Genesis 6, that were chased off the earth, were they given a short time to come back to earth and to make one more, or it's a last-ditch effort? Actually, earth is their final base. It was their plum, if you will. This is where they have brains. Their offspring have been going about systematically, gaining control of the earth, and now they are in, I'm telling you, we are in the clutches, and we are under the control of the most powerful system that's ever been devised since the beginning of time, and it will produce a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Behold, I come as a thief, because he will gather them together to battle. Now, listen to this one, 17 and verse 14, Revelations again. These shall make war with the Lamb. Is the Lamb a warrior? Who's going to make war with the Lamb here? Well, I've done told you in the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 5, it was the Lion that was warring with the Lamb, and we've been made to think that it was the Lamb that overcome the Lion. Or the Lamb that overcome the Lamb. We have two beasts here. We have the Lamb and the Lion. And then all of a sudden, the Lamb is not mentioned anymore, and it's the Lion that conquers, according to Revelations in the English. But if you go back to the Greek, like I've said many times before, it is not the Lion that conquers, it is the Lamb. And here it says, and they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. And he said unto me, who are these that are chosen and faithful? And he says, the waters which you saw are people, where the horse sits. There is a whole system in the last days that is rising up, and these shall bring the plague. Notice this. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the kingdom of the beast, verse 10 of 16 Revelation, says that his kingdom was full of darkness. Now, what does darkness mean? It means shrouded in secret. Secrecy. Nobody knows the diabolical plan that the noose is being placed upon the people, and the people won't recognize this until they're hanging in the gallows of Satan's clutches. Now, I want to close it out tonight and come back to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. This is one of the most scariest of all prophecies in the Bible. And I kid you not, this is a direct statement. Notice in verse 18, and the nations were angry. Why will the nations all of a sudden in the last days become very angry? Simply because when Satan and his angels comes back to this planet, and I believe they've already been here, I believe since 1947, right before the formation of this nation that calls itself Israel, which is the greatest lie and deception that the world has ever been deceived by. The people there in the sandbox are not the people of God. These are not the people that love Christ. These are they that say that they're from the tribe of Judah, but are not, but liars. It's facts, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to trust me on this one. If you don't want to do your homework, you've got to begin to trust the preachers and teachers and the watchers and people that study. There's hundreds of thousands of people across America that know this message tonight. Hundreds of thousands. Many more that would profess it if they had the liberty and opportunity. But they're afraid to do so because of the ridicule and the persecution and things of this nature. But I'm going to give you the 18th verse as the most frightening scripture in the Bible of the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. 11:18 is to me the most frightening scripture, the verse of scripture in the Bible concerning what Satan's agenda is to the true people of God. Now listen to me. The nations will become angry when they get this Antichrist. He'll come from the sky. He'll literally come like Christ would come. But he's going to come back as a real being, just like Christ is a real being. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to understand that Christ ate and drank with the disciples even after he rose from the dead. He had a physical body that had to be kissed to identify him any different from the disciples that were gathered around him. And this is the surprising nature of humanity, the dumb sheep in particular. We are amazed to think that our progenitors could look like us, when in the Bible it says that we are created in the image of God, and that we would look relatively close to what he would look like. He's no different from you. And these beings that were in charge, as Job said when the heavens was created, the sons of God shouted for joy. They were right there, these angelic beings. They were assistants. They worked right along with what we call God. God is nothing but a universal power source that these great beings call upon. And as long as it's used, it is a reciprocal force. You reap what you sow with it. If you sow righteous, you'll get righteous. If you sow evil, you'll get evil. And this is a law. You reap what you sow. It's a universal law, even to the angels that sinned, that lost their first estate. They have never been permitted to enter back in to the place from which they lost their habitation. They have been vagabonds, just like the seed of the serpent has been vagabonds. That they have such deceptive, crafty ability with knowledge that they take advantage over those who have been burned down or purposely put to sleep to fulfill the times that was designated by Almighty God until the times were finished. Now, I want to give you the last part of verse 18 of the 11th chapter of Revelation. I've given it to you before, but never in this setting. thou shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Almighty God came down here in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis to destroy them that were destroying the earth in Genesis 6. And they came up with a plan to destroy and to chase off this earth these that had lost their fellowship with the good guys. They became the bad guys, the outcasts. And all that had sinned and with their interbreeding, they were destroyed. The Father himself destroyed these and later visited them. Here's the mystery. The very ones that Almighty God destroyed, through his mercy, he destroyed those that had race mixed. That's what it was. It was a sin of crossbreeding, blood mixing. And so he destroyed them and then came back and preached to them that was disobedient in the days of Noah. There is the miracle. And so we never learn. We're coming right back as it was in the days of Noah to the same set of circumstances beyond, it seems like, our control. But as watchmen up on the wall, we're obligated to tell you that this same scenario is repositioning itself to happen all over again. Don't be deceived by it, because this time there will be no redemption for those that do this. This is your second chance, and it's the only one you're going to get. This is the last call, so keep yourself unspotted from the world. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I've got two more nights with you on Truth Radio, and then my voice will be gone from Truth Radio. But you can continue to listen to us on WWCR on 5070. So get you a shortwave if you'd like to stay tuned to what's happening with the message of the Shepherd's Call. We are being persecuted, and we are being afflicted. That we have brothers and sisters that stands with us and are enabling us to continue with the truth. And we will continue. We're looking for some property. We're looking for brothers and sisters of quality that would like to help us purchase some property to have a permanent place where you could come and spend at least 3 or 4 weeks a year or more if you'd like to come and fellowship. And I'll be there 100% of the time that I'm available. I could be there. And we could have teaching classes and things of this nature. We've got a lot of plans. If you'd like to know about it, call me up and talk to me, and we will tell you. Pastor Bud, the Shepherd's Call. You can call me, or you can write me, or you can email me. Let me give you my email first. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. That's Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, and the zip is 37824, and the town is New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, my sponsor, Dr. Gary, tonight, you can do so by calling him at 1-877-289-7439. Or you can call Dr. Jack at 1-888-281-7321. Until tomorrow night, on the Shepherd's Call, when I will bring you the Thanksgiving show tomorrow night, I'll be live again tomorrow night at 8 Eastern Standard Time. Dr. Gary will be on the Shepherd's Call Sunday night at 5 Central, 6 Eastern Standard Time on WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee on 5070. So you tune in to that message. I believe he's going to have a message on health. And with the vaccination process, he'll be talking about that. The pearls, the vaccinations, the forced vaccination that's coming, and the enclosure of the New World Order and the serpent seed as a devil. They're coming out of the heavens to invade us, ladies and gentlemen, and don't think that is science fiction. That is truth. See you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.
thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.